With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Back for another NASCAR season. Jeff Motley, Brendan Gaughan, Gaughan Racing. It's our fifth season together.
Is it our fifth now? Have we
We did that partial season the first year when the South Point 400, and then this will be our like fourth full-time season, so five seasons together. It's hard to believe you've been pretty much semi-retired that long.
It just amuses me that they've actually asked us back this many times.
Well, I think they get a bargain.
Yeah, this is definitely the bargain basement program right here. But yeah,
those who are going on to VSiN to try to see our smiling faces, we're only podcasting this week. I don't know if next week is just podcast. It might be. I've heard it might be podcast. Might not. Yeah. But
we're podcasting.
By the
Daytona
500, you're going to see our smiling faces on
our two old butts are podcasters, which, you know, I'm surprised we even know what that is.
We have faces for podcasts.
But it's good to see you, Mr. Motley. I haven't seen you all most of the off season.
Right.
You know?
We go through the holiday break, and you're off gallivanting to Colorado skiing and working four jobs. You're the busiest retired guy I've ever met.
Yeah, I screwed up retirement more than any human being alive. But glad to be back in studio at VSiN. Glad to still be here at South Point. You know, we flew through producers for a long time, but Ann can't shake us.
Yeah, Ann is back. We've got
and Karina Andy still helped write
from
the show.
From Oregon, living in Oregon. I think that's like the witness protection program for up there.
Can't believe she actually said she was still wanted to do our show still. I'm kind of honored.
Yeah, I know. Kind of makes you feel good.
Thank you, Karina. She does a great job for us, so she makes life easy.
For some reason. So, well, guess what, Brendan? We've got something we've never had before coming up just right out of the gate to start this thing. We've got a race on a quarter-mile track that has been built in the L.A. Coliseum.
Listen, I don't care. I got to co-host with Daniel Trotta the other day on Sirius XM, and I don't care about the people saying, oh, what this is going to... I love the people in our sport that poo-poo things before. They hated the when you came out with the chase for the, you know, the original chase, and when you came out with the playoff, and everybody loves to say how crappy things are beforehand.
There are certain people who ain't happy unless they ain't happy.
Welcome to the social media world of the 21st century. But here's something that what I'm excited about was, one, this is something I've been doing this 20 plus years. You've been in this thing longer than I have. We've never had anything like this on the cup level. This is so freaking cool. They just spent, guys, I said this on air. Do you realize the balls it took for Ben Kennedy, Mike Helton, Steve Phelps,
O'Donnell,
whoever it was that said, hey, let's build a temporary asphalt track inside the LA Coliseum. $1.5 million something dollars to lay down a track.
That you've got to, by the way, tear out within 2 weeks because the LA rugby team has got a match there in
so
2 weeks.
This has gone us like you ain't never seen. And people say, no, it's going to come up. It's going to this. It's going to that. Listen,
I think that's my only concern is, will the track hold up? Because we have no way to test it.
Did you not repave Las Vegas Motor Speedway?
We did.
7-8 years ago? And I know we've argued who was the first one on the track, but were we not on that track within, say, 2 weeks of it being done, driving race cars? Did it ever come up?
No. I don't know. What's the difference in like a quarter mile from a mile and a half track in terms of with it being flat? Are you not putting more stress on the track itself?
But here's it's going to have less stress because there's less banking. One.
Okay.
Two, this isn't a place. Your racetracks have tunnels, have drainage. You have all these things you have to deal with. Guess what they don't have to deal with?
None of that.
This is a solid ground. They laid down Bisqueen. They laid down plywood. They put on aggregate, and they put 4 inches of asphalt.
I didn't know you were a civil engineer. I'm impressed. You know all that stuff. I don't even know half those words.
Sorry. They laid down plastic. But, you know, this is just, Jeff, your track was a whole lot more difficult to repave. Atlanta, they're still repaving right now through the snow, saying it's going to be done just in time. Nobody's.
Well, they've already had a practice now. Kurt Busch has gone down there and tested it.
Did they have problems with that?
They had no issues.
Did they have problems at Michigan? They have problems at Kansas?
We'll be fine. We'll
this
be
doesn't
fine.
Come up. This isn't like, you know, you got a bunch of guys out there going, let's see how this happens. You know, they know what they're doing.
And I'm going to just bet that there are very few guys in this race that have ever raced on a track quite like this in a full-body car. Might have run legends on the little quarter miles at
funny.
Charlotte and Atlanta.
William Byron was our guest the other day, and William Byron drove at Bowman Gray. Now, you're going to hear the word Bowman Gray a lot in the next week and a half during this going on.
Which is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
High school
football stadium.
It's a high school football stadium. Folks, if you want to go online right now and just Google Bowman
Earth,
Gray
yeah.
Stadium, the Madhouse. Yeah. They call it the Madhouse for a reason. It's awesome. But this is a quarter-mile track that's in a high school football stadium that has a racetrack on the – instead of having a running track, they have a racetrack. And they put on some of the best short track racing in the country. So – is this going to be a wreck fest? Well, is it going to have a lot of people wrecking? Absolutely. You know, Mike Bagley made a bet. He goes, well, what's the over-under on the number of people that get punted going into a turn? So me and Danielle Trotta did some math. There will be 700 entries into a corner. There's about a total of 350 laps between heat races
and everything. Okay.
So there's about 350 laps, which means you have 700 entries into a corner. He said the over-under was 10 people, 10 and a half people that are going to get sent on an entry.
I would take the over.
I think that Mr. Mike Bagley is fantastic at what he does, very bad at setting odds. that over-under needs to be more like 70.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a fair amount of that. You know, Kyle Busch said that, I guess they've been able to get a simulator of some sort for this.
William Byron said the same thing.
Kyle Busch thinks the maximum speed on the straightaway is going to be between 60 and 64 and somewhere between 23 and 27 through the turns. So
but speed doesn't matter.
Well, I guess that's the whole point, though, is if you do get turned, you do get banged into, chances are it's not going to end your day.
Yeah, it's just going to do a little damage.
The worst part is if you get spun out and you're first or second and you end up 15th and you got to try to come back through
to get the top four.
Because I think passing is going to be at a
tough
premium.
It's going to be tough to be side by side. Let's talk about a few of these things that since the aforementioned Karina did such a nice job for us, Motley. We're in the middle of L.A. This is not Fontana. This is even Irwindale, which is just down the road. This is the L.A. Coliseum.
Yeah, you're literally 2 miles from downtown Los Angeles. You're right off the University of Southern California campus.
Pretty iconic.
I think USC actually owns the stadium now. They took the stadium over.
But that and my dad's a USC booster. Dad got a master's degree from USC. I got nieces that one got her master's 2 years ago. One's there graduating this year. So you're USC guys, not me. I'm not a Trojan. But
smart family though.
Those guys
I'm impressed. USC, Georgetown. I mean, you guys have done pretty well for yourself.
I played sports. But we're talking the L.A. Coliseum. I mean, think about the Olympic torch being lit in the
80s. Twice.
You know, I mean,
1932 and 1984.
I was 9 years old. Dad took us to some of the track event. I mean, iconic place. You're talking about Olympics, USC, all the stuff in there. I raced in there in a Mickey Thompson Stadium race.
Wasn't the first Super Bowl played there?
I think it was.
I believe the first Super Bowl. And they didn't even call it the Super Bowl then, I believe, was played in the L.A. Coliseum.
It's going to be basically a quarter mile. The infield grass, they said they did remove it. I thought they were going to leave the infield grass.
It's all gone. It's all asphalt. I think so that the cars, if they need to do quick repair,
can
pull in. But
yeah.
For the most part, the pits, because there won't be live pit stops, will be outside the track.
The teams are allowed 3 people inside to change a tire if they get a flat, something like that. I raced Mickey Thompson there back when we used to run up the grandstands. Mickey Thompson Stadium racing, we used to go up the grandstands, jump through the peristyle, turn, and jump down the grandstands.
Could not have been good for the seating.
They lost those seats. You know, but it's an asphalt oval. It's the debut of the new car. We're going to get into that. Really don't care that Kyle Busch is the reigning Busch Class winner because that means absolutely nothing.
About any past Busch.
Yeah. I mean, she gave us Dale Earnhardt holds the all-time record with 6. This is a totally different world. You're going to have 40 entrance qualifiers made. So, All these things. Let's talk about what the format is, because that's what people want to know. And I even needed to know. I had to look it up. We both probably had to.
Somehow I actually have my hands around the format. I understand.
And it's not that bad. No. Saturday you have practice.
And a qualifying. But it does not set the starting lineup for the main event.
Nope. Qualifying sets your heat race.
Correct.
So what you're going to do is there's 4 heat races. So qualifier number 1 starts
first
in heat 1. two starts first in heat two, three, so and then so on and so forth.
And then second place, the fifth place qualifier will be second in the first heat. And just keep going down the ladder.
So what you're going to do is you're going to have 25-lap heat races and 10 cars in each of those races for your 40-car field. The fields will, initial qualifying speed, fastest start, blah, blah, blah. Then top four, so you have to be top four. Now, remember when we did Eldora in the trucks the first year?
Top four in each heat.
Go to the main.
In the main.
Then you'll have an LCQ. I love
There's two. There's going to be two
LCQs.
So why are we calling it a last chance qualifier when you get two?
But
nobody gets to run both races. You either run the first one or the second one. Whether you're an odd number finisher
or an even number finisher.
Right.
Now, here's what I love, though. If you're an old school short track guy, I don't care if you sprint cars, midget cars, you understand LCQs. You understand this format. Now, the casual NASCAR fan may not understand this format, may be confusing to them, but if you're any sort of a race guy at all, you understand LCQs, you understand heat race formats, you understand all this, so it's not all that difficult, different from
any other Saturday night short track or dirt racing. I think the easiest way to really explain it to people is that there's four heat races, the top four in each one move on, so there's 16. Then we're going to have two more heat races of those who have not moved on. The top three in each of those
fills out
22 spots, and the 23rd spot is going to be the driver who finished the highest in points in 21 who has not already made the show through one of those two races, meaning Kyle Larson is the only driver
who's guaranteed
locked into the main event.
Do you think Kyle Larson is going to have to struggle with that?
I don't think he's going to struggle with it at all. And I think, on top of that, the thing about it is, if you're Kyle Larson, though, you're still going to be very aggressive in those heat races because nobody wants to start 23rd.
No, you're going to start in the back here.
150 laps on a quarter mile, do the math. That's less than 40 miles.
No, it's a short race.
It's not a long race. No.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
But that, so 23 men in the final race, the 23rd spot, basically call it a champion's provisional, call it, you know, a provisional, basically, to make sure that the highest up finished, somebody that's big.
Right.
You know,
it guarantees your champion is going to be in the race.
It guarantees that Kyle Larson will be in the race.
Correct.
It's basically the only guarantee. After that, you know, you may end up with the 20, a front row motorsports guy make it. Who
Absolutely
knows?
You could, especially if you were to get somebody who gets turned late in the last chance qualifier. He gets turned in a heat race, and then he gets turned in the last chance qualifier.
You still get
he could be the fifth guy in points, and he's out.
So it's going to be a fun race. You and I are both going to be there, Jeff. I got permission. I guess the garage passes are difficult. I made a bet with Chocolate Myers and Daniel Trotta. They both said that, you know, nobody's being allowed in the garage area. They said, ha, 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 good luck. Suck it, Trebek. I will be me and old Harley will be hanging out.
Did you get a hard card this year? You didn't get your hard
card? No, hell no. I didn't do no hard card.
Well, you're a team owner hard card, you know.
Team manager said, take me off the roster even. Use it for somebody that's going to work.
The funny thing, I think, is you get this job of team manager. Number one, you didn't know it existed, and you certainly didn't apply for it.
So,
just somebody told you, oh, by the way, you're the team manager.
And one of the best stories of that is, you know, Mr. Beard, of course, passed away right about this time last year. This is the week that he passed away. And right before he passed away, you know what the last thing he did, how I found out I was team manager?
Was he in his will or something?
No, he made business cards. I got a box in the mail.
I haven't gotten one yet.
Yeah. I love Linda Beard. I love Amy Beard. I love Mark Jr. I looked, I said, you really made me business. They go, we have to be official. I go,
they didn't know you very well, did they?
Hey, I'm here. slightly on time.
Now we got some new, we got a few new faces too. I mean, we'll kind of just touch on those a little bit before we get into the odds. But we've got Kurt Busch joining Bubba Wallace. We've got Brad Keselowski,
that was big news last year. Just let's recap. Going to 20, that's a big deal. I think he's going to be a huge help to Bubba Wallace.
No question. So the Ganassi team has folded. So Kurt has moved over to join Bubba Wallace with 23XI. Ross Chastain has moved over to Trackhouse Racing, which with their new part-time team owner, Dana White, who has jumped on board with that team now.
I thought he just jumped on board as sponsor.
I don't know. It has something to do with his something. I don't know.
It's the whiskey.
I didn't know if it was part owner, if he was like sponsored.
I thought he just sponsored, but it's cool that they got him on there.
He might be. Then we got Brad Keselowski now really kind of taking over part ownership and driving
RFK
at Roush Fenway. So that's
Roush Fenway Keselowski
now racing.
RFK.
RFK
right, for
like
sure.
The old Redskins Stadium or the Commanders Stadium or whatever they are. RFK Stadium?
Yeah, it's RFK, but you said the wrong word now. You're going to sensitivity training.
The Redskins play in that stadium. Commanders are going to play
out.
In the next
You're out.
All right. And then we've got
suspended first week.
We got our young guys coming up. We got Austin Cendrick, who's joined in with the Penske team. And we've got Harrison Burton, who's moved over, going to drive for the Wood Brothers. And we've lost Matt DiBenedetto. He's going to be full-time in the truck series.
Which you got a good deal there. I'm happy he's there.
Yeah, and I think, though, we got Ty Dillon, who's now joined up with Eric Jones as part of the now GMS Petty Motorsports team. Mari Gallagher, Las Vegas businessman,
the Cup Series. You got to talk about going from 0 to 100, too. I mean, and Spencer, his son, who was a race car driver, who just basically said, you know what, it didn't look like it was going to be him as the race car driver. Step back, manages that team, runs that great, kind of almost reminiscent of an old Ricky Hendrick when Ricky stepped out and said, you know what, it's not for me, and he wanted to make sure that they
kind
ran a success.
Ben Kennedy's done from a standpoint of getting out of the driver's seat and
running NASCAR.
Running NASCAR. I mean, Ben's moving up the deal there. So some interesting names. We're also going to see A.J. Allmendinger is going to get a lot more seat time in the Cup Series with Colley going up. Justin Haley's going to be full-time. Allmendinger, our buddy Noah Gregson's going to get some races
in over
there.
And let me tell you something. I think we're going to talk a lot about that Colley. You know, new teams don't know. You know, we talked about 23-11 last year a lot because Michael Jordan. You talked about Suarez and the Trackhouse deal. But that was kind of – this is an organization that – Matt Colley puts money where his mouth is. Matt Colley is absolutely, I'm impressed with what Matt Colley has done. And I think not only the full-time team with Justin Haley, I'm actually more excited about watching this part-time team. I think you're going to see Dinger, Hemric, and Gregson. I'm going to put my mouth right here, record this. They win a race.
Well, Dinger already won a race last year one of those part-time deals.
But
I don't think there's any question Dinger will win a road course race for
but
sure.
But even Daniel or Noah, I bet they can win a race.
Especially, I think, Daytona, Talladega, Atlanta, those are going to be some interesting races too. All right, so one of the reasons I think that made it sensible for Colley to move up is because of the next-gen car. It's a good time.
Good thing you can't see me. It's a podcast.
But I'm just saying that the timing is good for them to
do
that.
Yes. Well, that's why they're doing it. That's what's happening.
So before we get into the odds, which we'll try to do shortly, kind of give everybody a little 411 or whatever on what to expect from this next-gen car. How is it different?
First of all, nobody knows yet, really. And I'll be able to talk more about this next week, Jeff, because we're going to the race. I'm going to the garage. I'm going to lay hands on these cars, look around, see what they are. Supposedly, they're going to be less expensive down the road. Right now, of course, it's not. A lot of the parts.
Supply chain issues are having a little bit of that
well,
right now.
But
as
also,
is everybody
also,
for everything.
You threw away a whole car and had to go brand new. Right. So that cost is exorbitant at the top, but then it will hopefully be a diminishing return on that in the end. Right now, the first thing that everybody was all up in arms about, one lug nut, not a huge deal. It's okay, people. The gasket right
I
now.
I don't think we're going to have nearly as many. We're not going to have that many errors on pit stops. I think the guy that comes in first is going to get out first unless he speeds. Because you got to wait on the fuel now.
No, right now, your fuel man is going to be more important than the changes.
But is
now.
It really a big hurry for the fuel guy? Because he knows it's going to take him longer.
No, but that's what I'm saying is if a fuel man is not on his game now the fuel man has to be.
He's got
to
be in there as soon as that car comes to a stop. I got you. Yeah.
One of the weird things for me that I learned the other day, they're still allowed to run a rear-view mirror, but they also have a rear-view mirror camera that is going to be on the dashboard. Now, if you have one of the new cars, a lot of these new cars, if you reach up the rearview mirror, you pull the old dimmer, you know, the old slide, yep. It turns it to a camera. So you no longer have a rearview mirror. You have
kind of like the backup camera you get in your cars now.
But use as a rearview mirror. I absolutely said I am really glad I'm retired. I have no clue. I've tried to use the one in my car. I can't tell where nothing is on that camera thing.
I think it will take a while for some of these guys to get used to it.
So I'm excited. That is some of the superficial changes. These body parts, supposedly, they're going to be able to take pieces on and off very quickly. Supposed to save a lot of money on that. We'll see as that goes on. But I want to talk more about those cars next week after I've physically been able to.
Well, and one of the keys is the teams are not manufacturing these parts any longer. They're all coming from outside suppliers. And NASCAR has been very, very outspoken about if you mess with a part
L3 fines.
It could even result in being kicked out of the playoffs, which I'll believe that when I see it, that they go that far to kick someone out of the playoffs.
We'll see if they follow through with that
All right, we're going to got about 15 minutes left in our podcast. We do have some odds for this week. It's an exhibition race. It's certainly not going to be.
I always talk about exhibition racing, and
right. And yeah. I don't even think we're going to worry about making picks this week, unless we want to make one or two just for fun. But let's just go through real quick.
Also, this car is so unknown that people are saying, "Is all of a sudden?" And I'm going to pick a name here off the bottom of this chart. Is all of a sudden Justin? Well, I just said their team is Eric Almirola suddenly going to be able to win races every week is Front Row Motorsports.
A guy, by the way, who has announced his retirement. I mean, a little odd for Eric Almirola to announce his retirement a year before he's done, right?
Hey, he wants a goodbye year.
He want gifts?
Yeah, exactly. Is this suddenly going to make these Front Row Motorsports, these Rick Wares, everybody's going, oh, Spire, these guys are going to be competitive every week. Bull.
Usually the cream rises all the time.
Jeff, this makes it even more so on engineering. The best teams with the most engineering, you already talked about, Kyle Busch and William Byron, have been in a simulator. They already spent the money to make a sim for this quarter-mile track. So the teams that have the most engineering, just like the old rules, will be fast first.
No question.
Which team hits it first is going to be the question. So that's why the odds for this...
Well, and here we go. Few of the odds to win. The favorites are Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. at plus 600, Chase Elliott plus 650, Kyle Larson and Joey Logano plus 750, Kyle Busch plus 800. Then we get into double digits. Ryan Blaney's 12-1, Byron 14, Keselowski, Harvick, and Bowman 18. Christopher Bell, known as a good short track racer, 20-1. That's an interesting number. Kurt Busch at 25, and then the numbers get pretty big. Tyler Reddick, 40-1, is another one that I really kind of look at that one and say, well, you never know.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
You know, I look at this and I'm joking about how, you know, we don't really know what this car is going to be, what organization is going to hit it first, so to speak. But certain drivers, look, if you put me on a quarter mile short track, in my prime, were you going to bet on me to win that race?
Probably not. I love you, but I probably wouldn't bet. But I like my money,
I love myself. But, you know, I could dominate Irwindale. Did pretty darn good at Monroe, Washington. Yeah, Tucson? I hated it.
Hated Martinsville, too, didn't you?
No, I always said that. I hated Richmond, though. But, you know, just look. You know,
this is smaller than any of those.
That's what I'm saying. I've never been on one this small. There is no chance. There's certain people that just thrive in things like this and certain people that aren't. Names that immediately come to mind, Kyle Larson. Christopher Bell, and a guy like a Kyle Busch, who always proves that he can make changes very quickly on the fly. You're talking about two Joe Gibbs Racings and one Hendrick. These are two of the teams that have the most engineering, two of the teams that you believe will be ones to hit it first, you know, figure it out faster. But Christopher Bell, 20-1?
Yeah, that's...
I'm not saying he's going to win, but this is the man that's won the Chili Bowl a bunch of times. This is the man that runs sprint cars, winged, non-winged.
And I think there's got to be a little bit of dirt track mentality on this, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So you're going to be looking for which line moves faster, which line is get cake and rubber. There's not much room. I like that C-Bell. And even the top three number at 475 is, you know, you don't want to bet him to win. I think that C-Bell, Kyle Larson, and Kyle Busch will all be great bets as a top three.
Yeah, the top three favorites, Denny Hamlin, Truex at plus 145, Chase Elliott plus 150, but then it's actually there's some money going on Kyle Busch, obviously,
bet down.
Plus 165. We've seen him bet down, where I think we've seen a guy like Kyle Larson, he's plus 190. He might have been bet up because maybe people are like,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know why people are staying away from Kyle Larson. Joey Logano is actually more of a favorite than Larson for a top three at plus 170. And then the numbers get bigger. You got Ryan Blaney at plus 300, Byron's 340. Keselowski and Harvick 425, Bowman and Bell 475.
Right there, 475.
That's a big number. Kurt Busch is plus 650. Austin Cindric is plus 850, and then everybody else is in double digits. So, I don't know. That's I think those Christopher Bell numbers are pretty good.
No, those C Bell numbers are good, and there is a back page. You know, we do have the whole field. But once again, I don't believe this is going to be a thing where we're going to see Cody Ware at 500-1, 50-1, top three is suddenly because this car is going to be competitive. I don't see where Corey LaJoie, 100-1, 17-1, is suddenly this car. Everybody, you get these fans that are saying, oh, this car is going to be an equalizer.
No, but I'll tell you what, if you're looking at a big number, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is 200-1 and 28-1, and there's a guy who has done a lot of
short track
kind of racing.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you race in the Chili Bowl, I know it's on dirt, but that track is about the same size, if not a little smaller than this one. So, and I know it's different kind of cars, but there's still certain concepts that you can carry over. Whereas Kevin Harvick, I mean, when was the last time Kevin Harvick got in a car?
Yeah,
like
no,
this?
Nothing like that. So,
Denny Hamlin, either one for that.
Some of those, to me, I do believe the whole theory of, oh, this is going to be some great equalizer, blah, blah, blah. You know, Ryan Preece, 100-1, 17-1. The problem is Ryan Preece is driving in – he's in a Rick Ware car that week.
Right, because the Stuart Haas thing, he's just sort of a – I don't know exactly what
fill-in,
that is.
He's a fill-in. But Rick Ware has a deal with Stuart Haas now, engineering-wise, blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah.
Normally
it's a little bit out of order because the way the things are this week. They're race winner, manufacturer. We can talk about that. Honestly, flip a coin if you ask me. Toyota's plus 140, Chevy's plus 170, Ford plus 230.
I think the main reason you look at the how they have them listed as favorite is you go off of engineering-based teams.
Well, and
Toyota.
I agree with you. I probably would put Chevy up top just because they got more cars. They got more chances to win.
But when you talk about if you go to the history of the sport, Toyota has proven they spend money.
Well,
and they spend money now.
And I think adding Kurt Busch to the Toyota stable, and I think what he will be able to do to help Bubba Wallace,
mm-hmm.
I think you're really going from what we had was four legitimate teams to win to really, I think we got six now. I think we're going to, we know Bubba's going to be good on certain tracks.
He's won.
He's got to win. All right, we got a few driver head-to-head matchups. We'll kind of talk.
They're not very fun.
They're not very good. We only have, four of them,
I think.
Keselowski and Harvick are both minus 115s against each other, as is Kyle Busch and Joey Logano. Chase Elliott is a minus 125 against Kyle Larson's minus 105, and William Byron minus 105 against Ryan Blaney's minus 125. You know, I'd say one thing about Ryan Blaney's another one. You know, his family.
Oh, no.
Now, Ryan hadn't had the experience.
Ryan never drove the dirt.
But Dave and Dale, his dad and uncle, those guys were strong on that.
When we did the first Eldora race, and I was asking a question, and Blaney goes, yeah, I never drove the dirt. I go, what?
And don't they own a dirt track?
Your last name is Blaney.
Don't they actually own one in Ohio?
And I go, how have you never? He goes, well, I did this and that. And I'm like, how in the world are you a Blaney and never driven dirt? That is like sacrilegious.
That is unbelievable.
But Kyle Larson minus 105 on Kyle Larson? Hey, time out here. I mean, it's Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
He drives everything he touches. He's golden lately.
Those numbers just don't excite me on any of those. But
listen, Chase Elliott ain't gold in everything he touches. Kyle Larson is gold in everything he touches. I kind of like that.
All right, we have four groups this week, not our customary six. But one thing about these groups is that everybody's number is high enough that if you hit the right guy, there's a chance to win a little money. Group A, Denny Hamlin's a favorite at plus 250. Martin Truex Jr. plus 260. Chase Elliott plus 270. Kyle Busch plus 280. You know, I kind of like the long shot there just because I think he is a guy that seems to adjust to a new racetrack in just a few laps.
That is the key. Remember the car with the wing? The Gen 5, whatever car it was called, who hit it first? Kyle Busch. Who's the guy that always hit? Who hit the Gen 6 car first? Kyle Busch. Who is the guy that's proven he can adapt quickest? Kyle Busch. Him being 280 makes me say, I like Kyle Busch.
And I will never forget when he was a teenager and he was in the Roush truck. And I remember Jack Roush saying, I have never seen anyone in my life who can figure out a racetrack as quick as he. You know, he can find another way around. He can find a line around the track that someone else didn't. So I kind of like Kyle Busch there, Group A. Group B, Joey Logano is plus 220, Kyle Larson plus 240, Ryan Blaney plus 280, and William Byron plus 330. No one can give me any realistic reason why they're having Joey Logano favored over Kyle Larson on that one.
That's random to me. I think if 240 right there is absolutely worth every bit of that bet. I love him over all those guys.
Wow, goodness gracious. You and I agree two in a row. Yeah. It's a good thing we're not making official picks this week.
Group C, I bet we agree too.
I'll bet we do too. Group C, we got three guys at plus 260, Christopher Bell, Brad Keselowski, and Alex Bowman, and Kevin Harvick at plus 280. I think we're both going to say we like Christopher Bell there. Now Bowman would be my number two guy in that group because
absolutely.
He's done a bit of this. But
260
Bell
to 280 is the spread against that. I'm all over C. Bell on that one.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to be on the same page as you in Group D.
Group D might be the one we could potentially question. Kurt Busch is a favorite there at plus 250. Austin Cindric plus 260. Tyler Reddick plus 270. And Eric Almirola plus 280. I feel like I could make a case for Kurt Busch as the favorite there at plus 250. But the number on Tyler Reddick at plus 270, I really like that.
But it's only a couple points higher. And we've talked about that I think the Toyota is going to be one of the ones that possibly hit this first. Kurt Busch at 250, Tyler Reddick 270, my two favorites, but I'd be on Kurt Busch at 250 right there. I mean, I'm not afraid to say that one.
Yeah, I don't think you could go wrong with either one of those. I think both of those guys are certainly going to have really good shots. So
I mean that's kind of the nutshell.
That's everything for this. Because at the end of the day, we don't know anything.
we're with you. We don't know either.
We're looking forward to watching it, and good thing you and I both will be there in person to.
It's going
to
be fun
to take it
I'm
in
excited
on
to
Sunday.
See it. So. They gave us Daytona 500 odds. I wouldn't talk about those till next week, but they do have odds to win the championship. Motley, how many times have you and I talked to every season we've done this, except for the first we jumped on? You know, the middle right.
Yeah, we didn't come into the playoffs, right?
But we have said if you're going to bet a future, find your value in future and then hedge on it towards the end. If you had done Kyle Larson last year to start the season, he was like 14-1, and he went down to being the favorite at 250.
And it didn't take long. I mean, once he won in Las Vegas,
it dropped dramatically.
And I think we also all know that whatever happens in Vegas has a lot of say on what's going to happen
the rest of the season. It always has.
And I think there's going to be here's the deal. You know, and I know somebody's probably going to win the Daytona 500. It could be very well be an upset. And then you're going to have a bunch of people going and say, oh, I'm going to pick them to win the championship. Well, Michael McDowell won the Daytona 500 last year.
Listen, Vegas has always been in its location. This season has always been one of those telltale signs. So if you had bet him before Vegas, we harp on this every single season. And I get people on Twitter, I get people all over that always go, well, you know, I thought about if you're going to do a future, find the value. There is huge value in drivers that have a chance to win this championship that are way down this list to me.
Well, the double-digit guys, I mean, Kyle Busch is double digits, 10-1. Blaney's 11. Logano's 12. Harvick is 15. All the way down, Kurt Busch is 25. Reddick, you know, I think Reddick's going to have a good year, 30-1. Cindric, 70-1. I think he has got a chance to be one of the most successful rookies we've seen
in
a
long
time.
I am 100% there with you on that. And even if you look at guys, look, Martin Truex Jr. is 900. You know, Byron's 800. Those are numbers that, you know, are going to fluctuate throughout the year. Maybe you hold a little, but Martin Truex at 900, it ain't going to get much higher than that for Martin Truex.
No, I would tell you that I agree with you. Jump in if you want early on, whatever. if you can get a bet in on whoever wins the Vegas race as soon as the Vegas race is over before on winning the championship before they reset,
yeah.
I'm just telling you that there's so many mile and a half tracks, and it just seems like the tracks like Las Vegas have a tendency to dictate the champion. I mean, how many times did Jimmy Johnson win in Vegas and go on to win the championship? Matt Kenseth won his only race 1 year in Vegas. He went on and won the championship. Tony Stewart won in Vegas, championship. Kyle Busch, race, championship. Kyle Larson did it last year, win the race, win the championship. It happens a lot.
Vegas has always been a telltale sign as to what team's going to be on it early and on it often. And that has been a huge sign forever. So you look at these guys. I mean, Joey Logano is 12-1. Do you think that Joey Logano is not going to be a better threat than that throughout the season? I mean, come on. Logano at 12-1, he's going to be down in the 6-7-1 range.
Well, and you talked
halfway.
And you talked about the engineering.
Penske is one of the best.
Penske is one of the best. And that's one of the reasons why I think Cindric is a guy, don't sleep on him. Blaney and Logano both being double digits? No. No way.
I'm telling you, that this is the time we talk about it every year. Look at your odds to win the championship. Start laying some coin. Kyle Larson, 360. All right, don't lay Kyle Larson. Now, it got smaller, if you can believe that,
well,
as the year went
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
But
right. And look, it is hard to repeat. It's also hard to repeat. Jimmy Johnson.
Don't tell
repeated.
Jimmy Johnson that.
Well, but ever since Jimmy, it's been much more difficult to repeat. And I think part of that is because the demands on the champion's time, I think, has had a lot to do with that. So,
I'm with you.
Is what is. All right. This is wrapping up podcast number one for Gone Racing. Brendan and I are going to go over, check things out at the L.A. Coliseum, and we'll be back next week to preview the 2022 season.
Talk about the car a little bit.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.